says this, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered.
I don't know about you, but I love nice. Yeah. God says he's going to give me 100 times as much, and that's going to last forever. And so while people say I'm crazy, I'm going, man, who's the crazy one? The one that's thinking and investing and obsessed with something that he can't lose in heaven, or the one who's going to spend everything and know that he could just have his life end at any second? As you read chapter 8, what this chapter is about, it's the profile of the obsessed. I mean, what does a life look like that is obsessed with heaven, that is obsessed with Jesus Christ? And hopefully as you read this chapter, you resonate with it and go, you know, that's totally me. That's totally who I want to be.
All right, now that we've watched the video, I need an energy drink this morning. Okay, Psalm 39, verse 4 says this, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. In the Holy Scriptures, our life on this earth is compared to a mist, to vapor, to just something that's fleeting. Job chapter 8, verse 9 says this, for we were but yesterday and know nothing. Our days on earth are as fleeting as a shadow. Scripture also talks about our time on this earth. Your time on this earth describes you as a visitor, as a traveler, as a pilgrim, as an alien. That means you're somebody whose citizenship is not here, but your citizenship is someplace else. As you know, people come to our country to work, and they have to obtain a green card. It's a visitor registration card that enables them to work here, but their citizenship is in their homeland. The Holy Scriptures say that your citizenship is not on this earth, but your citizenship is in heaven. So that means that every believer must think spiritually like we have like a spiritual green card that we are carrying while we're here, knowing where we belong, knowing where we are going, and knowing then what our priorities are while we are here on this earth. Now, there are non-believers on this earth that think that this life is all there is. So their value system then has to do with everything that's here and everything that they can obtain. And then they think that they have to have it all. See, but check this out. Pastor Rick Warren says this. I thought it was a great quote. He says, your identity is in eternity and your homeland is in heaven. This means that you don't have to have it all while you're here. You don't have to have it all now while you are here. James chapter 4, verse 4, which is kind of the theme verse for this message today, says this. Do you not know that friendship with the world, and when he says that, he's talking about the value system of the world, is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I remember having this conversation with a person one time, and they were like, well, but why did God make the world? See, God made the world good, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but remember this, it fell. We're currently in a state of rebellion. And so after the fall, the value system has now changed, no longer worshiping the king, but worshiping creation. No longer worshiping Jesus, but worshiping pride, money, and possessions. That's what has happened. And so Scripture is calling on you then, while you are here, to have a different value system for your lifestyle and your values. So what is your lifestyle like? What are your values like? What decisions do you make? And then what are those decisions driven by? See, Scripture wants you to think in a way with an eternal perspective and wants you to have this, and I've given this visual before, that your life is very short on this earth. But then eternity is a very long time. So what decisions will you make? What priorities? What relationships? What impact will you make in this little moment here that will have an impact for eternity? Does that make sense? Okay, so what impact will you make now on this brief time on this earth as an alien, as a visitor passing through, that you will have great rejoicing in heaven for the long haul, because the kingdom of God was advanced through us as his people. Imagine this. Imagine that there was somebody that was an ambassador to a foreign nation. Okay. They're an ambassador to a foreign nation. Now, if you're an ambassador to a foreign nation, you're going to have to learn the culture. You may have to learn the language and the customs so that you can relate. You know, you're representing somebody else, but you're going to have to be able to relate. But now, what if that ambassador got a little too close? What if that ambassador got a little too attached? What if that ambassador assimilated a little bit too much? People from the homeland would say, that ambassador is a traitor. Here's the thing, you guys. We're Christians. We're followers of Jesus. We're followers of the King. Too many of us are betraying the King and becoming traitors of the King. Because here's why. Jesus says this: you are ambassadors of Christ. You represent him while we're here. We have his mission and purpose while you are here on this earth. Are you completely happy here? You ever wonder why you're not completely satisfied on this earth? There's always more that you want. Here's why. It's not your home. You're not home yet. This world is fallen. It's not sinless. You can't visibly see the King yet. So remember that just as a bird, he needs wings to fly, just like a fish needs water, so also you need God to be satisfied while you're here, to identify in him and to depend upon him and to have the mind of Jesus Christ while you're here. Okay, so with all of that in mind, this will be a segue into this passage of scripture where James hits it hard once again for us so that we grow unto spiritual maturity and adopt the mindset and value system of Jesus while we're here on this earth for the glory of his name and for the good of others. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is the first thing that James is after, and what he is trying to tell us in this passage of scripture is that when we have eternal values, it will change our relationships and how we go about them. He says this: what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Now remember that James is very acquainted with the Gospel of Matthew. And remember the Sermon on the Mount? What does Jesus equate contentious, angry relationships to? What does he compare them to? He compares them to murder. Because you're having it out for somebody. You really want to get somebody. And so keep that in mind as James is talking about relationships. He says, you covet and cannot obtain. Covet is when you're lusting after more and more and more. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You have not because you ask not. Okay, so what is he talking about here? He's talking about egos that get in the way of having good relationships. He's talking about people that are so much worshiping ego, so much worshiping achievement, it's hard to get along with them. They want it to be about them. They have a hard time serving others. And so there's conflict a lot. They have a hard time getting along with others because jealousy and selfish ambition comes in a lot. Okay, so we talked about this last Sunday and we contrasted self-serving relationships versus gospel relationships. A self-serving relationship is just all about the person rather than a gospel relationship being about seeing to it that the kingdom of God is advancing in the relationship and you're loving and serving the other person. And when this happens, there's humility. See, there's a much different focus. There's less conflict, more humility, more concern about loving and blessing the other person. Do you guys remember the story of James and John in the Gospels? They were like, hey, we need to be the top two disciples, okay? And even their mom came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, is it okay if my sons, that they're like the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen of heaven? You know, is it okay if they sit at your right hand and it's your left hand? You know, because I got pictures of them at home and I want their pictures to be posted in heaven too. And so then Jesus said, hey, listen, do you not know that the value system that I have is not one of self-glorification, but it is of humble and sacrificial service? That's essentially the summary of the answer that he gave to James and John's mother. And also, we just read in the Gospel of Matthew how Peter was like, no, you can't go to the cross. That would be failure. See, but Jesus is like, no, that's not failure. That's my purpose. That's the mission of God, to humble myself and to serve others, because I came, what? Not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Pastor Rick Warren said this. He says, don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Great quote. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. The question that I have for you is that in your relationships, do you want to be served or do you want to serve others? Do you want to be heard or do you want to bless and listen and encourage others in those relationships? Know this, that the humble God will exalt. Okay? The humble God will exalt and give glory. But those who exalt themselves, what does he say? God's going to humble them. There's often the repeated story of a president that was coming back home to his homeland. And there was also a missionary that was on the same boat. And they were all coming back to homeland, all coming back to the United States of America. And of course, the president of the United States is coming home. So what do you think is going to happen? There's media, there's pomp and circumstances, there's videos, cameras, there's banners, there's the military, there's a lot of praise and adoration going on. But then the missionary isn't receiving any recognition. He gets off the boat. No one even notices him. So he begins to have some resentment. I served so many years in that foreign country. Sacrificed my time. Led people to Christ. Served others. He had anger. But God said to him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not about you. And know this, you're not yet home. You're not yet home. When you get there, then you will be exalted. But you're not going to be exalted here. Eternal values will change how you see everything, you guys. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 3. Okay, this one's very relevant. He says this, you ask, okay, so some of you do pray, but you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Has this ever happened to you? Do you ever pray about earthly things? See, now, if your life is driven by materialism, then you're probably sometimes going to pray for a lot of earthly things. Like, Jesus, is it okay if we get that car, please? I remember my mom, I love my mom, so this is all, you know, I love and respect her, so don't listen, hear it the wrong way. But sometimes she would just be like, is it okay, Jesus, if we get this new leather couch? Be like, my mom, or my dad and I would be like, you did not just pray for that, okay? That's not what we pray for. If you remember an old sermon series on the basis of D.A. Carson's book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, he highlights all the prayers of Paul. And one of the big things that he highlights as he looks at the prayers of Paul is he says this, Paul is praying for a lot of spiritual things. He's praying that you would be filled with love, that your minds would be renewed. He's giving thanks for the kingdom of God advancing. He's praying for so many heavenly, earthly, heavenly spiritual things on this earth that it's just mind-boggling, and it's like, wow, we need to mature in the way that we pray. We need to grow in what we pray for. Now, you probably remember we read a little bit of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon is the wisdom of the Old Testament. But you have to remember, when he is writing Ecclesiastes, this is before the coming of Jesus. So he doesn't have the eternal perspective of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so he's just basically giving you wisdom like, okay, if you love money, you're never going to have enough. Very clear. We all agree. But then he also, if you remembered, he has a little bit of a different perspective than Jesus and the apostles, because Jesus and the apostles are coming as the kingdom of God comes. And he's just basically like, life is short, so just enjoy it. That's pretty much what he says. Did you hear verses 19 and 20 of chapter 5? But see, now, you guys, Jesus has come. You have the resurrection of Jesus. You have this eternal perspective now. You have this video. You guys apply this to this passage. You think Francis Chan, he's the pastor, you think he's praying about the next car he's going to buy? See, he's living for something completely different. I mean, the guy has sold all kinds of books and so forth, Pastor Francis Chan, but he lives very humbly, and he's constantly housing homeless people. He's constantly housing missionaries. I mean, he could have like this big mega church, but instead, what has he decided to do? He's decided to go into the slums of San Francisco and plant a church there. He's decided to adopt like a big, big, huge apartment building, and that's where he's planting a church. And each of the rooms, when people get saved, they're becoming like the houses of growth groups. The growth groups are meeting in these apartment rooms. And so he's raising up leaders for each apartment room. Okay, you're saved. Now I'm going to train you, and you're going to have like a mini church meeting in your little home here. We're here not to be served, but to serve others and give our lives for them. Check this parallel passage out. It's a wonderful parallel passage to James chapter 4, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He says this: do not love this world. Okay, now again, this is the value system of the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but they are from this world. That's a relevant couple of verses, isn't it? In the United States of America, where we're all about self-glorification, money and possessions and fame and power and prestige. But then sometimes, here's the point James is making: don't allow this to become your priorities while you're here. Your homeland is in heaven. Your identity is in eternity. You have a king that's died and has been raised for you, and now he empowers you to live a way cooler, more awesome, better life than that. I remember that there was a season in Daisy and I's life, in our family, where we were like, you know, man, there's just toys everywhere, man. Everywhere, every room we go, there's toys, okay? We need more square foot. We need more square feet. We need like a playroom. We could put all the toys in that room because there's toys, and we're about to trip over and we're going to have to break our neck. And so we just started to think, hey, we need more space for stuff. We need more space. Okay, what do you guys think is going to make you happy? Like, we need fill in the blank. God had to tell us, hey, listen, trust me, be content. I'll make it work for you where you're at. I want you to know this: God fills up and blesses those who are content and those who trust him. But those who lust after more are never satisfied. Know this. Now, is the scripture saying to have bad stewardship? No. You still need to have good stewardship. This is not, hey, don't love the world, so don't take care of your property. Let it go, you know, let go. I mowed my lawn, you know. The point is this. Yes, don't have the value system of the world. But, yeah, be good stewards of what's been given to you with the perspective of this, that Jesus is coming and that Jesus will renew all things. Jesus is going to renew the earth. The earth, it says in Romans chapter 8, is longing for redemption, is longing for renewal. Know that it's all going to be renewed. Know that there is eternity that is awaiting the earth and is awaiting you. James chapter 4, verse 5 says this. And now he's not only talking about how eternity changes your relationships and your priorities, but your devotion. And when I say your devotion, I mean what your heart is devoted to. He says this, do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Why is he talking about jealousy? God's jealous for you? Know this. It says that God loves you, that he's given his son to be in a marriage relationship with you. That Jesus Christ is the groom and you are the church, you are his bride. That Jesus, by his blood, has cleansed you and has forgiven you all your sins and has given you new life. And he presents you as a radiant church, a radiant bride filled with splendor because of Jesus' love for you. Jesus loves you that much that you are a clean, beautiful, pure, forgiven bride that's spotless. Why do we take our sins so lightly? James chapter 4, 4 says, you adulterous people. It's saying that we're cheating on God when our devotion is not towards him. We're cheating on our husband when our devotion is not towards him. Listen, guys. After 2 seconds in eternity, 2 seconds, you're going to say, why did I waste my time on all that stuff? Why did I waste my time on all that gratification of the flesh and the sinful nature? But then listen to this. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Even in the midst of this cycle, as Christians, we struggle. We know what's right, but we still struggle because all this stuff is in front of us all the time. He gives more grace. He loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The humble will hear this message of Scripture. They will hear this word of God, and they will take their sin and they will take their hearts to Jesus Christ for cleansing. See, because we're never complete in this life, we're always growing, we're always being renewed, we're always being cleansed, we're always adopting God's values as opposed to ours. We're always saying, not my will be done, but your will be done. And so it's his grace that humbles us and then leads us to him. And remember what we said, that God exalts the humble. He will exalt you for your confession of sin and forgive you for everything that you have done and left undone while you're here on this earth. And so it says this in verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Okay? The worst thing that you can do is say, is it a sin if I do this? Is it a sin if I do that? Instead, why don't we just submit ourselves to God? Adopt his mindset on everything, all the biblical principles that we know to be true, and go from there. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Once he sees that you're submitted to God, he leaves. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He calls us double-minded. Why? Because it says we have two masters. We're being mastered by the world and money and possessions, and we want to be mastered by Jesus at the same time. Hey, guys, how about this? How about we just surrender? How about we surrender all this to Jesus Christ? We surrender our sin. We surrender our selfishness. We surrender our love of this, the world's value system. Let's stop being double-minded and see what God does. Let's start living for God's glory and living for the kingdom of God. How about that? How about we repent of our sin today and we adopt God's mindset today on our lives and see what God does in Roseburg and in Douglas County and to the ends of the earth as we do this and we play our small part in the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is advancing globally right now. We're only here for him and his glory. So how about, because we're here for him, let us now live for him and his glory and his name to the praise of his glorious grace. Here's your application question for today. Knowing that your homeland is in heaven, how will you live with Christ-centered priorities while you are here on this earth? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and guard your mind through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. At this time,